from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. And then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. They'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. I have a couple of things from the chatty house at the break I want to get to, but let's finish up with the Kings worry meter. Just talking about how worried we are about these various Kings storylines. We've done the Mike Brown contract extension, and we were talking about the Malik Monk contract. So you're now leaning towards 50-50.
Yeah, probably. That's probably where that something gets done. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I think these things change quickly.
Is there any... Here, real quick, before I give my... Is there any... question to you. I know we've talked about the different ways they can kind of structure this deal to ostensibly make it a 4-year, $100 million contract. But is there any doubt in your mind that they're going to give him the maximum amount of money that they can give him?
Oh, no. Like, for right now, for the next 2 years, no. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was always a question. Like, I would say... the first 2 months of the season, like, are you going to give him the full $17.4 million? And like, the question I think it plays along with, is he worth the more than that or less than that? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that, what he's worth? By the end of the season, I think everybody could tell, maybe even like 2/3 of the way through the season, is like, oh boy, he's not only is he a $17 mm-hmm. million dollar player, but he's probably... more than that. He's probably a 20. Yeah. He might be a 22. He might be a $25 million player.
Yeah.
Like, again, he's worth whatever someone's going to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think that that's how you always have to look at these things. Like, where do you judge, like, what is a player's worth and all that stuff? And for Sacramento, I mean, he's worth way more than they can possibly pay him.
Yeah.
But there's no question in my mind at this point that they're willing to go the full, whatever they can give him in the first 2 years. Even if it's the 4-year deal with, you know, 4-year, $78 million contract with a 2-year, an opt-out after 2.
Right.
They're going to give him that, it, from what I know, and kind of the tea leaves. That's not going to be a question. The question is whether somebody else just blows that offer away mm-hmm. and maybe has a better opportunity for him in some way.
I am 88% concerned that he's going to just get an obscene bag in free agency. I think so much of what we talk about, A, we talk about it with the Kings, and we talked about it a lot yesterday, the need for shot creation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have a shot creator who gets into the lane like he does, who can shoot it like he does, and then who can also play make out of the pick and roll as a primary ball handler, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
like that's a really, really big deal. And I think you saw it time and time again in the playoffs. You saw it with the Cavaliers. You saw it with Orlando. I think at times you saw it with with Indiana, although to a lesser extent. I think you're seeing it right now with Minnesota. And I think the value of a player who can handle the basketball, who can make threes, who can get in the lane, who can play above the rim is going to be super, super high this offseason. And I am very, very worried that some team is going to throw him $25 million a year.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that's what you're going to be up against. It's very possible.
Yeah.
And also, if I'm Malik Monk, I'm very leery of like some sort of promise. Like, you know, I know it's been laid out there that, you know, there's a way that he could get $17 million this year, like 18 point something million next year. Next thing you know, that's like a $36, $37 million deal. And then he can opt out and then they'll pay him 30 something and 30 something. And next thing you know, he's got a $100 million deal from Sacramento as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that's just to ignore the fact that not only if you do that, like if you don't make any improvements as of right now, both the Sabonis contract going up, the De'Aaron Fox contract going up, and in that summer, the Keegan Murray contract, you're already going to be like approaching luxury tax.
Yeah.
Like what exactly is, are the Kings going to just throw $30 million at somebody? And maybe they will, but they can't put it in writing. And if they can't put it in writing, I'm not, I don't know how I can do that.
It's, you might get 4 years and 100, or you will get 4 years and 100.
Yeah, and you might get 4 years and 100 in California, or you will get 4 years and 100 in Orlando, Florida, where there is no state income tax at 10%.
Whew. That's tough. I'm very, very concerned about that. Also, you brought up, the last one is about Monty McNair's ability to close a big deal. I want to put a pin in that, because you just brought up Keegan Murray's contract, and this is something I was thinking about a lot. The Keegan Murray contract aspect of all this is endlessly interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you run up against a scenario where if Keegan Murray, what would be the max rookie extension for him?
It's going to be
in ballpark.
What Fox is making right now, but just the new version of that. So
First
year salary, probably 30, 31 million.
Sure.
It would be like, I think you can do a 5 year deal. Well, you can do a 4 year extension. Like 150, 160. Well, I think Fox's was 5 year 160.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be 5 year 175, 180.
And do you think it's trending toward him getting that?
Oh, I don't know.
That's the
really
interesting
good
part
question.
For me.
Yeah.
Because if he does, by the time he's due for an extension, if they're like, yep, 5 and 180, here you go, they're probably in a really, really great spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where now having three max-level guys like that with Sabonis and Fox and then Keegan Murray, it matters less because I think the bar of player that you have to bring in is now a little bit lower.
Okay.
But on the other hand, like you want Keegan Murray to get to that point, but if he's not at that point after next season, well, now you have to kind of worry about what Keegan Murray's ceiling is going to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's going to be a discussion point for a long time. We can't do it. It's all going to be dependent on how he looks next season and what kind of leap he makes in year three. But that's going to be a really, really interesting piece of all of this as we talk about the Kings moving forward.
Yeah, so for me right now, he's a 480 to 490 player. Like 4 years,
got it.
4 years, 80 million to 4 year, 90 million. And again, the cap is going to go up, you know, 10% a year from here on out for a while. So like but that's kind of the dollar amount I'd put him in. Like, but that can change very quickly.
Yeah, no doubt. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, I'm going to fit a call in before we go to break. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Matt in West Sac.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Our call screener got it wrong. What's up?
All good, man. So you were talking about dominoes falling, and I was wondering, you know, I don't want to, like, already start, like, throwing blame around or anything, but does the presumptive blame for all this fall on Monty McNair more than it does Uncle V? Like, a lot of us have kind of like sat back and said like, all right, come on, Vivek, like get it done. But is there a rift between Monty McNair that Kings fans aren't seeing? Because we know what kind of past Monty has. We saw what happened during the trade deadline, or what didn't happen. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about what Monty McNair's position and what his role is and all this, and what his relationship is with Mike Brown.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Matt. James, I will let you answer that.
Well, I would say this, that Monty was able to hire his own coach after a year and a half, 2 years, right? So he inherited Luke Walton's contract, not only year one, but also had to keep him to start year two. And then they paid Luke Walton a year after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he cycled through, went through a bunch of coaches' names. This is a coach he came up with. And you remember he interviewed like Steve Clifford, like they're Mike D'Antoni. Like there are a bunch of coaches that came through Sacramento that were interviewing for this job. This is the guy who got behind. So like one way or another, you probably have tied yourself to Mike. Mm-hmm. And I'd also say, like, look, if the Kings want more offense, Mike Brown did have the number one rated offense a year before. It's not like they can't crank up the offense.
Mm-hmm.
They need players to hit shots, clearly, but like he already proved that he can be that coach.
They're not playing some archaic style of basketball that doesn't work.
No, this isn't like the like 1950s Celtics that are just passing the ball around and the Kings are scoring like 37 points a game.
Right.
Like that's not where we're at. This is like I don't think that there is a rift between Monty and Mike, but I also think that, yeah, like a lot of this does fall on like the group of them.
Yeah.
It falls on ownership and management. Somebody has to, like, if you're not getting your voice heard, you need to fight for him more, then you need to fight for him more.
Yeah.
If you don't want him there and like, yeah, like there could be multiple people on different levels and stuff, but at some point you have to pick a path and stick to it. And that's what you would hope that they would do in this situation.
You'd hope so. But we'll see. More Monty McNair coming up. We got good idea or bad idea, and then we'll talk some NBA playoffs as well on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, this is insane. So out in our little kitchen area, because I can see from where I'm standing, over to my right, there's a big window that looks into Studio One where Jesse sits for D'Lo and KC. And then behind Jesse, there's another window so I can see out into our lobby and our kitchen area, just kind of the shared office space that we have here. Open office concept. And on the big kind of kitchen island thing, the corner closest to us on that kitchen island, if there's goodies there, that's typically like, hey, these are up for grabs.
Free for all.
Right. And so I saw a bunch of stuff stacked over there, so I wanted to go see what's up. Part of it is like little snacks, chips, pretzels, things like that. But then there was a stack of coffee cans, like cans of coffee like this. And I went, sweet, big coffee guy, free coffee, I'll take it. So I grab this and I look at it. And on one side, it says Odyssey Sacramento and Odyssey San Francisco and all the stations listed. Shout out. On the other side, there's some holiday decorations. So they were clearly like holiday party favors. And then I'm like, oh, where's this from? This is from Mountain Brew. And the slogan on it, tastes great naked.
Oh. Wow.
That's insane.
That's a read right there.
That is a wild thing to write on your coffee. That's what it says, though. Mountain Brew, tastes great naked. Can't wait to try it. I'll have a full review whenever I get to this coffee. I have so much coffee at home.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're a collector of coffee?
No, it's just not an accident, but somebody, a listener, very, very kind around the holidays, dropped off like two bags of coffee for me. I ordered some online. I had some when we went to Key West to sell Bustelo coffee.
Okay.
Or Cafe Bustelo. And when I got home, I was like, that was delicious coffee. I want to order some. So I ordered them on Amazon. But it came in, it was six of them.
Yeah, six, I remember this.
Right, yeah, yeah, I still owe you one. So I still have like five cans of that stuff left. So I had some other stuff that I bought. So I have so much freaking coffee. Because I like when I go travel, like we went to Buena Park last summer to visit a friend down there. And I like to go to the local coffee shop when I'm in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm at the local coffee shop, if they have beans there that they roast, I will buy some. And so I just have hella coffee.
You got a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm working on getting through it though.
All right.
I'm working on having more coffee at home instead of buying it.
I think I have a lot of whiskey at home. I just keep getting new bottles of whiskey, different bottles. And I've kind of made a commitment every time I like go to the Costco, I'm going to grab a bottle. just throw it in the cart.
Terrible idea.
Like, and it's
such a bad idea.
I'm just not drinking it all the time, but now I'm amassing a collection.
Yeah, you do. You have a good collection.
I probably
that's
have
why I didn't
like,
buy you whiskey for your birthday. That's why I went with wine.
Oh, yeah. I probably have like 12 different, maybe 12, maybe 15 different whiskeys.
Yeah, that's good. That's very classy. That's very classy. If you're going to have a full bar like you have, mm-hmm. I do not, like me, I have maybe 5 or 6 different bourbons and scotches in my little kind of shelf thing where I keep my booze, but it's not a full bar.
Yeah.
If you have a full bar like yours, you got to class it up with the full lineup.
Oh yeah, totally.
Good for you. Good for you. Good idea or bad idea? I have a couple of chats starred as well that I want to get to. Won't probably get to them this segment, but I want to get to them. King's Trade ideas, things of that nature. Good idea or bad idea? This is something we do every day. We take 3 headlines that we're not going to dive all the way into, but want to discuss, and we just discuss whether the thing is a good idea or a bad idea. Number one, the 49ers are bringing back wide receiver Juwan Jennings on a 2-year deal worth $10.5 million guaranteed. Kind of weird they announced it as a 1-year extension, but it just got tied in with his restricted free agent tender. So it was a 2-year deal, but a 1-year extension. Juwan Jennings back with the 49ers through 2025.
Great idea.
Good idea.
I think he's a very, very good third wide receiver, and I think there's even potential for him to be a number 2 in certain situations. I also think that if they ever decide to go like a bunch of 2 tight end sets, him and Kittle together would be pretty nasty if you slide him over.
Yeah, you can basically when you work him out of the slot,
yeah.
He can basically crash down as a tight end.
Yeah.
And he does. I'm going to stop talking about this now. No, great idea. Have we talked about this before? Do you know how many catches he had last year?
I would guess like 38.
19.
That's it?
Dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just a really, really impactful player.
Yeah,
me too. It feels like every catch he makes is worth 2 or 3 catches because it's getting a big first down. It's scoring a touchdown. It's breaking a couple of tackles. So yeah, shout out to Juwan Jennings. Good, good job. Good on the Niners. And this won't affect the Ayuk contract. It won't affect anything else. That's such a cheap deal. Mets relief pitcher Jorge Lopez got ejected yesterday in the Mets 10-3 loss to the Dodgers. He chucked his glove into the stands, and then after the game said, it sounded like he said, I've been the worst teammate in the entire bleeping MLB. But it also sounded like he said, I'm on the worst team in MLB.
Mm.
So a reporter had him clarify and said, did you say you're on the worst team? And he's like, yeah, sure. So I want to leave out for the good idea or bad idea purposes, he was DFA'd almost immediately. But I want to leave out the interview stuff for good idea, bad idea. That was just a thing that happened because I think a lot of that just got lost in translation. Good idea or bad idea after getting ejected to throw your glove into the stands? Maybe give him a souvenir.
It's not a good idea when your career ERA is not great and you're in your 30s and there isn't a true reason why you're there. Mm-hmm. You're there to eat some innings, and if you're going to be a problem, you're clearly not good enough for them to keep that problem around. So bad idea to throw your glove into the stands, although someone made off with a really nice glove, I'm sure.
I don't hate it. If you're going to throw something into the stands, like at least the glove's not going to hurt.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of down with that. Yeah.
Definitely. That was why, though. I know there was the big thing made out of what he said and calling the Mets the worst team in the league and this and that. Like I said, I think a lot of that was a misunderstanding.
Lost in translation thing.
Yeah, for sure. He got DFA'd because he has A, not been great, and B, threw his glove into the stands after getting ejected. You just can't do that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, bad idea on behalf of Jorge Lopez. Hope he lands somewhere, though, and gets the career back on track. Last one. A man was in court for a suspended driver's license, and he went to this court via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was on Zoom, he was driving a man in court for a suspended license, driver's license, got on Zoom while driving his car.
Kyle, this is one of the most ridiculous things. I'm watching the judge's face, and it's so priceless. He's like, is this really happening?
Am I being punked?
Like, the guy's like, he's like, are you stationary, sir? He's like, hang on one sec. I'm pulling into a spot right now. Okay, okay. And then he asked the attorney, like, okay, this is about driving without a license, right? It's like, yeah, that's what this is about. And he is actually driving right now as we speak, right? Yes, Your Honor. That seems to be the case. All right, hey, we'll see you here at 6 p.m. You need to turn yourself in or there will be a bench warrant and we're going to come pick you up. Like, no, you go to jail, directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Bro, come on.
Really tough. I see the chatty house and he's going to his doctor's appointment. How's he supposed to get there? Friend, family, ride share. Call your lawyer and be like, bro,
don't drive while on Zoom in a court while you're in court.
Hey, that's it, dude. That's it. If you've got to drive to your doctor's appointment, you know, all right, I got this. I got a court date at noon. My doctor's appointment is at 12:30. Then get where you're going at like 11 and be out of the car.
He could have just been a minute late and not been caught doing what he was doing.
He was pulling into the, like you said, pulling into a spot right now.
And they just shift into the passenger seat. And they're like, sir, are you in a car? Yeah, I'm in the passenger seat. I had a friend drop me. Yeah, I mean.
Easy like, work.
Yeah, easy work. No. The look on his face is so precious, though. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's just, that's one of those.
He doesn't even have a response.
Right, because he's not thinking about it. He's not like, hey, I'm deceived. I genuinely don't think he was trying to be deceitful.
Well, clearly not.
It's not like he was, I don't know, man. That was just poor idea.
It's like if really someone, like, you have to,
too.
You have to go on a court ordered Zoom to make sure you're not, like, doing illicit drugs and you know, you have to meet with a court order and you're like sitting there smoking a J while lines of coke are in the background.
Right,
like,
right.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, hey, have a little.
Is that cocaine? Oh, yeah, it's good stuff, too. Like,
I'm not as long as you're not hurting anybody, if your license is suspended because you got a DUI or something, that's horrific. But you got to go to a doctor's appointment and you're like, hey, I don't got friends or family who can take me. There's no Uber in my area. I got to drive myself. You know what? Fine. So be it. Just when you're going to get on Zoom for court about having a suspended license, just don't be in the car.
Don't be in the car.
Don't be driving the car.
Don't be driving. Hang on one sec, Your Honor. I'm pulling into parking space now. Like,
it's not easy.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Bad idea from our guy. I have a couple of starred chats that I want to run by you. James will talk about game 5 of Mavs Timberwolves tonight, which is airing right here on ESPN 1320. 5 o'clock is when coverage begins. Really, really excited for that one. We'll get into it coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Scotty Barnes.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I don't like that thing you like. It's the worst type of person on the internet. Oh, you like a thing? I like a thing. I like a different thing and don't like your favorite thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyways. All right. Before we get to playoffs tonight, I have a couple of chats from the Chatty House that I want to get to you. Tom L. asks, have you guys discussed Michael Porter Jr. as a possible trade target recently?
No, not really. I mean, if we have, I don't really think he's going to be available. And I think that they're going to try to bring back, maybe add a little bit here and there. Like, I think there is a way for them to, you know, we've talked about maybe bring back a Torrey Craig. Maybe if, you know, Bruce Brown doesn't get, if he doesn't pick up his player option, maybe he would come back on some other deal or something. I don't know. I don't think he's going to walk away.
I think it's
a
club option for Bruce Brown.
Oh, it might be. Yeah, $23 million.
Yeah, which I don't think he's getting picked up.
No, I don't think he's getting that picked up either. But I think that they can reinvent themselves, and I'm not sure that I'm trading. If you have a team, again, Jokic is 28, Aaron Gordon is 28, Jamal Murray is 26. I'm not trading like a 25, 26-year-old dude. And if I'm the Kings, I would be leery. He'll be 26 in June. Porter will be. I don't know that I'm trading for a guy at this point that has, you know, he played 81 games this last year. But, like, that is a ticking time bomb. Like, he's had three back surgeries before he's, like, before he's, I think, 21. Like, that's tough.
Bottom line for me is if they're moving Michael Porter Jr., it's to add somebody like Keegan Murray instead.
Yeah.
And Keegan Murray's not on the table for MPJ for me.
No.
He's just, I'm not 100% sure that he's a better player in a vacuum. B, I'm not 100% sure he makes the team that much better. And I don't, like you said, with his back history, I'm just kind of out on the idea.
Yeah, it's tough. And you know, he's a player who's getting paid. It's 35.9, 38, 38.3, and 40.8 over the next 3 years. That's really tough because you're gambling on a player with major medical issues. Mm-hmm. Like that's a problem. And if his motivation goes away at all in any way, shape, or form, like that could spiral out of control very quickly. I mean, you look at Ben Simmons, who's had one back surgery or one back procedure, and like still can't get right. So
also, are we certain that he's going to be totally clear in the gambling stuff? Like, are we 100% certain?
I don't know. That's a whole nother situation.
Okay.
Like one brother is serving 6 years in prison, right?
Yeah.
For vehicular manslaughter. Another is just picked up a DUI. Another one has been banned from the league for gambling.
Yeah, I don't want to put the actions of his brothers on him.
No.
But that the gambling thing specifically with Jontay Porter, was the account not in
Colorado?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things swirling. I would just, like, for me, right, I would avoid him.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be other players that are better options that, or other players that just are different than him.
And I think what he would give your team is ostensibly what Malik Monk gives you in terms of shot creation.
Yeah.
He's not like an awesome defender. He's not an awesome distributor. He shoots the heck out of the ball. He's a flat out one of the best shooters in the league, but I don't see it.
Yeah, he's a good offensive weapon. He's actually developed as a rebounder. But again, like, we're talking about a guy who for his career is at 1.2 assists per game.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to see the arc of a guy like Keegan Murray and see where he goes.
Yep, I'm with you. And then Sack Kings Rock asked me to ask you, so I will, about Rui Hachimura for Kevin Huerter. Heard anything about that?
I have not heard anything about that, but, like, look, Rui's 6'8". Like, he's a versatile 3-4. He doesn't play a lot of defense. He doesn't rebound a lot. He's at, 13.6 points per game this last year, 12.7 for his career. He did shoot 42.2% from three. And I think that there should be at least some intrigue there. Like, I think that might be a trade that potentially could help both teams.
Yeah.
Like, they need a shooter like Huerter. They need as many shooters as possible to go with LeBron James and AD.
Yep.
And then I think Rui, his volume is way lower than a guy like Huerter. It's like 3.4 attempts per game.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rui as a player, but, like, you have to know the limitations of Rui. I like him as, maybe even, I'd put it this way, if there's some way you brought back Malik Monk, but he was your starter, I could see Rui as a bench version, a big frontline version of the scoring option that Malik gave you off the bench.
Interesting. You wouldn't have him start over Harrison?
I don't know. Like, I don't know that you're upgrading, like, huge with Rui. Again, the defense is going to be a problem. So, a little bit of a black hole, but I don't hate Rui as a player. And, like, if they made a move like that, I would be like, okay.
Sure.
Again, 1.2 assists per game, 0.7 the year before. Like, he's not a guy who creates for others at all.
Yeah. Right on. Mavs Timberwolves tonight, Game 5 of that series, 5:00 right here on ESPN 1320. We'll bring you all the action. I hate this question, but I'm going to ask it because I think here it might play better than it does in a lot of cases.
Okay.
In this spot where a team was up 3-0 and they lose Game 4 and then they have to go on the road for Game 5, is the pressure still on Minnesota to make this a series? Or do you feel like if you're the Mavericks, it's like, oh, shoot, we cannot let this get to 3-2. You have to close it out tonight, or else things get really dicey.
I don't know. I kind of feel like games just have their own vibe. And one team shows up and one team doesn't a lot of times in these situations.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, overall, this has been a highly competitive series. There's been some game winners. It very easily could be 2-2, right? I just think it's going to be, like, a quality basketball game. I don't know that there's any pressure on, like, yeah, if you lose, you're done for Minnesota. But I don't know that we're going to see that. We're too deep into a playoff run for all of a sudden pressure to melt somebody. And if it does, okay. I think last game, the pressure was on. It's like, win or go home, right? And win or get swept.
Sure.
And I thought Karl Anthony Towns, who is someone who has never been someone that you would rely on in a situation like that, a high-pressure situation, who hasn't throughout his career proven that he could step up in the challenge, stepped up and was spectacular.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know who's feeling pressure at this point.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like this series in particular, it's just a battle, and Dallas has a lead right now. I don't know that that lead's safe. Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota's a really, really good team.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dallas were to win tonight, I also wouldn't be shocked.
I kind of get the feeling, and I'm often wrong, but this is just the vibe I get. I think Minnesota's going to win comfortably tonight.
Hmm.
I just, they're going to be at home. That crowd's going to be insane. They're going to be feeling great. The Mavs probably going in feeling like, all right, up 3-1. Should have won, could have won. Game four, like, we still got this. We're the better team. And then I think Minnesota comes out and just has a really, really great game. One where, you know, Naz Reid hits a bunch of threes. Maybe Jaden McDaniels hits a couple threes. And they roll. And then I think the Mavs end it in six.
Okay. I mean, that's very possible. But I'd also say that you have two of the most crazy back-breaking shot makers of all time on your roster.
That's true.
And every time you feel like you're going to pull away from them, they hit some stupid shot that it's everyone so in the annoying. Building is like, I can't believe that just happened.
So annoying.
And they hurt your soul every time. If you're the Timberwolves, those things are like, it's really tough to recover when you play excellent defense for 23 seconds and some dude hits a one-footed follow-away 32-footer over like the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it just is. It's tough. And mm-hmm. so I never count out the Mavs. And like, I felt like this series kind of felt like a coin flip. I didn't know who was going to win at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's crazy. We're talking about, you know, a 3 and a 5, right? And what this is a really good series of weird matchups. And, you know, if Lively doesn't play, I think that'll be a problem for Dallas. Oh, yeah,
good point.
He's
in concussion protocol, apparently.
Well, I would assume.
I thought he had a sprained neck.
Yeah, he probably had he has both.
Both?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, he got hit really hard.
He got walloped, man.
Yeah, and that wasn't intentional. That was just like something that happens. But yeah, tough. Especially a neck strain is so difficult for big man. I mean, everything you're doing is a pie.
Yeah,
like you're trying to grab rebounds, you're trying to block shots, you're trying to pivot fast. Yeah. Like that's not going to be great.
Can we talk about Prize Picks real quick and how we did yesterday?
Yeah, if you want. It's a pretty short conversation.
We tried. You were.
Oh, I'm on Demon Time.
You were on Demon Time.
Yeah, I guess so.
It didn't work out.
It did not work out.
So we both had Kyle Harrison and Christopher Sanchez of the Phillies, Kyle Harrison of the Giants, to not give up a run in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Schwarber, top of the first, leadoff batter, goes deep. So that one was over. But I also had no runs allowed from Chris Flexen and Alek Manoah in the Blue Jays and White Sox game.
Okay.
They didn't allow a run. And then I needed AJ Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces to go more than 11 rebounds. She had 9 going into the fourth quarter. She didn't start the fourth quarter. She came in with like 6.5 minutes left. With 5.5 minutes left, she had not cleared 9 rebounds yet. And then she pulled down like 5 rebounds in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And finished with 15 and got me over the hump. So I got 2 out of 3. I did a little flex play. So I made 1.5 times my money back.
All right.
Hell yeah.
She's really, really impressive.
She is unbelievable.
So I made the mistake, which I will learn from. I promise. I will never. Well, I'm not going to say I'll never do this again because chances are I will. But I made the mistake of going all athletics. Outside of that, Christopher Sanchez and Kyle Harrison first inning thing.
Yeah,
we both chose that. So it was sort of like foreshadowing for what was going to happen the rest of my day.
Mm-hmm.
I had Abraham Toro with more than 0.5 singles. He had a double, no singles.
Mm-hmm.
I had Brett Rooker with 0.5 RBI. Yeah, he didn't get there. Daz Cameron. He did play late, but I got a DMP there. So, and I think I had him with walk, and then Zach Geloff, I thought would break out of a slump, 0.5 singles, and he got absolutely nothing. So I got nothing right at all, but I would tell you that if I had this same exact thing today, Toro already has a single, Rooker's already driven in a run. Cameron doesn't have a walk yet, but Geloff has a single. I actually would have done okay today.
So Prize Picks is tough.
Yeah.
It's the very next day. You just got no dice. Man. Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. I think the Timberwolves are going to win, but I don't think I'd bet on them. I just have no feel for anything in these playoffs.
No.
I said it before. and it's not helping at all.
I think the only thing that we had a feel for truly was that the Celtics were going to be the one who represented the East. That's the only one that I've felt like has proven out to be very accurate from the beginning, that they're just the better team. They're better than everyone in the East, and there wasn't any question about it during the regular season, and they beat everybody by like 12 games in the regular season, and then you see it in the playoffs. They're just way better.
Yep.
Now, I still don't know like what that means. Like when we get to the finals, like they're going to have to show up. I think that they'll be the champion, but I have no idea because they've been here before and hasn't worked out that way.
I've been so annoyed with the analysis of the Celtics through this playoff run.
Yeah.
Because I get why. I get, you know, their path there. They faced an injured, who'd they play in the first round? Miami with no Jimmy Butler. And then they got
Cleveland without
Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell. That's right. And then they had the Pacers where Tyrese Halliburton was hurt the last couple of games, and they go to the final. But I don't understand when and where along the lines of sports discourse that we started talking about like the quality of a championship. Where all of a sudden, if you didn't win a championship by going through the hardest possible route and without having to climb six mountains and overcoming five double-digit deficits in four games, like that just, it doesn't, none of that, I don't understand when that happened, that we give a damn about how a team won a title.
I'm with you, man. I don't know, like, I think a little of it, like the bubble championships, right? People want to put an asterisk on the Lakers bubble championship. Okay, I don't really care. Like they won.
They hung the banner.
They won. They hung the banner. It's LeBron got another ring. I mean, I don't think at the end of the day when he's sitting there with his SI cover, like, you know, putting his hand on his face with his rings.
Yeah.
That we're going to go, "Oh, that one. That pinky is a bubble ring."
Yes, dude.
Yeah, that's a bubble ring.
Nobody, when you're going down the list of NBA champions, no one is ever going to go, and again, let's talk in 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Nobody is ever going to go, "Oh, well, that championship, that was the year they only played this many games, and they had to go to the bubble, and so that one actually means less than all the other ones." Kenny Caraway here for the handoff. We're talking about how somewhere along the line, we started talking about quality of the championship, and I think it's come up a lot with this Celtics run.
Yeah, yeah.
And how all their path to get there has been so easy, and they haven't been tested yet. And if you want to use that as predictive for, hey, like James just said, they've been the best team all year, but it doesn't feel like, man, they have when the 2018 Warriors, 2017 was the year they went 16-1. But that was like, yeah, they're 12-0 going into the finals. Like, dang, that is the dominant team. They're really good. I get with the Celtics why you're going to have a little bit of pause. But it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. If they win the title, nobody's going to go, "Yeah, but their path to get there."
Yeah,
nah, I think it's all so silly.
No, nah, it is silly, especially like how you laid it out in that respect where they're the best team. Like, it really doesn't matter if those teams would have been healthy or not, or who they would have played in the East. They probably would have beat them.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers bubble title. See, here's what I will say. I won't take away from their title, but there is something to, like, we were there. Like, we lived it. It was different. It was different, and there's aspects of it that were harder, and there were aspects of it that were easier.
No doubt.
And it's just part of the story. It's just part of the story. It doesn't mean because there were aspects that were harder, that's why I know me personally, I won't like take away from that title.
Yeah.
But I am there, and I was there. We were all there to say, nah, that was different. Like
it was definitely different.
They didn't have to travel. They didn't have to deal with road games. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to deal, when you talk about like how we talk about this in this playoffs, how the others perform in road games and hostile environments. We didn't have to see that from anybody in those situations. And we didn't have to see, oh, how do you have to do down 3-2 going on the road, all this other stuff. Not to say that
But every team dealt with those circumstances. It wasn't, mm-hmm. if the Lakers were the only team, mm-hmm. if the NBA said the Lakers get to play every game at home and there's not going to be fans, but everybody else has to travel and deal with all that, then sure.
Right.
But like everybody dealt with that. It's part of the story.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't, to me, cheapen the title.
I don't think it cheapens it, but it is different. And it's not exclusive to the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's it. Whoever would have won, in my opinion, would deal with those same questions. Because of that championship. Now, like I said, those are the things that they didn't have to go through. They were barricaded in a hotel complex for months. A lot of people were away from their families for months and had to deal with all that. We saw teams like the Clippers say, I just don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be here. No. Mm-hmm. Those are things that this year's title teams don't have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say there are things that were positive that they had to go through. There mm-hmm. were things that are negative that they had to go through. And it's just, we're just here to tell the story. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, Rashawn Holmes got isolated in his room for 10 days mm-hmm. for ordering chicken wings and going to get them, like, right on the sidewalk, yeah. like, of the complex.
Yeah.
10 days in your room, isolated, not being able to do anything. Like, they wheeled in a bike. Like, they brought him weights. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude's going stir crazy, like going absolutely, absolutely insane. And some of the stories from the media members, like them, like sitting outside their doors, like hanging out, being able to social distance, and then getting in trouble, and like wild, like pickleball championships.
The thing I remember about that bubble playoffs is whatever it was, you knew immediately, and that's what ended up happening. What I mean by that is, if you had, for instance, Blazers Lakers game one of their first round series,
mm-hmm.
I think I can't remember who won or whatever, or how it went down, but it felt like the Lakers beat the Blazers, and it was like, oh, well, why do we have to play the rest of these games? Like, it's not going to change. And this is what I mean, we're like,
interesting.
In a normal series, we're like, all right, well, Blazers lost those first two in L.A. Let's see what they can mm-hmm. do at home. The crowd's going to be crazy. Let's just see. Maybe they won't win the series, but maybe they can extend it to 6 or 7. After like game two of these series, it's like, team ain't going to change nothing.
I have no issue with saying it was different.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is when people go, well, that one doesn't count. Like, it does. It does, flat out. Mm-hmm. In the NBA history books.
Yeah, it's a championship.
It goes Warriors 18, Raptors 19, Lakers 20. That's it.
The only one that doesn't count is that sorry ass Dodger World Series. Now that don't count. I'm gonna promise you that. Now look, the funny thing about that, I joke about that a little bit, but it really is. That's even more different than the NBA title, because they played, what was it, a quarter of the season? They played 60 games.
Yeah.
And then the entire playoffs was in a bubble setting.
That one I
joke about it a lot, but that I have more of a problem with that championship than the NBA championship.
But even still, I am totally like, banner went up for LA.
Yeah, that was an AAU tournament. That was an AAU tournament.
Who's more of a champion, the 2020 Dodgers
uh-huh.
or the 2011 49ers.
2011 49ers. At least they played a full season and got to figure some stuff out in a real context.
I love your commitment to giving teams rings that they didn't win. That's my favorite thing. Who wins
Dodgers
tonight?
Suck.
Who wins tonight?
I was about to say, I don't know who the Dodgers play, but...
Dodgers off tonight. They're about to open a series against Colorado.
There we go. Yankees come to town for the Giants too.
Oh, snap.
But
did you know that the Giants were created just to spite the Yankees?
Yeah, that was
incredible
stuff. Yeah.
Well,
and the Mets were the Yankees and Giants combined, so to speak. Well, their colors were
Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers and Giants combined. I think Minnesota wins, man. I think we get to Game Six.
I do too. I think they're going to kind of win by a lot.
Mm.
And they're gonna roll tonight.
I've been wrong all playoffs though with a lot of stuff.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yep.
Who the hell knows?
I'm on that same tip. You got a prediction, James?
No. No, I don't.
Coin flip.
I keep telling you, I have no feel for the West.
I don't either, but I'm ready to be wrong.
Yeah.
I hope we get a game
go
six.
Go Wolves.
I hope we get a game six.
I want to see history. Hell, I do too. I want to see history.
Almost saw it last year.
Yeah.
I want to see it. And I just, for not like any like particular reason, I'd love to see a team blow a 3-0 lead so we can stop talking about team blowing 3-0. I don't know.
We'll never stop.
D-Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow. We've been the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Everybody have a great Thursday. Bye!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.